Maaser Sheni Perek He Mishnah Yud 5:10. We now begin the final topic of the Masechta, the topic of Vidui Maaser, the obligation to recite certain psukim that you'll find if you look in the second Aliyah of Parshas Kisavo, that's in Devarim 26:12, and then there's the next few psukim there. So at the end of the process, that is say, and the end of the process of the 2-3 year mini cycles. We're talking now that you're supposed to have given the various trumas and maestras, maestras sheni, etc. At the end of that, at those processes, there's a deadline. The deadline we've covered in the topic of biur, which according to most Rishonim is happening on the erev Pesach of year 4 and year 7 of the 7 year Shemitah cycle. So, as we said, on erev Pesach of the 4th and 7th year, you will have to have given at that point the deadline everything you're supposed to give, trumas and maestras, etc. And that which is excess that wasn't given has to be gotten rid of. We had an exception, you recall, from Maaser Sheni itself, which was you were allowed to keep for the next 7 days for Pesach while you're in Yerushalayim. You could keep sufficient Maaser Sheni to consume while you're there in Yerushalayim. At the end of the 7 days of Pesach, on the last day, in the afternoon, you would then have finished everything. Even the last bits of Maaser Sheni would be consumed. And at that point, assuming you did everything correctly for the past 3 years, so you'll recite those psukim, three psukim that are enumerated in Parshas Kisavo. You'll say them explicitly, and that'll be the end of the process. The next four Mishnayos are going to darshan those three psukim. In other words, the person who would be saying the Vidui Maaser would actually recite those psukim exactly as they are, those three psukim. But the Mishnayos here, these four Mishnayos, are going to essentially say drashas to explain what is the meaning behind those psukim. Fine, so that's what's happening over here. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, it's again, we're 5:10. B'mincha, b'yom tov achron, on the mincha, meaning the afternoon, on the last day of Yom Tov of Pesach, in the 4th and 7th years, hayo misvadin. That was the time to recite this vidui. Now, the word vidui, translated usually as confession. So there's two basic approaches here. Either you understand, like how I believe the Rambam understands, that the word vidui doesn't necessarily mean confession in the tainted with sin variety. He means, vidui for the Rambam, it seems to me, means a verbal recitation of what one already had done in the past. So it's like vidui means like a recap, if you will. So in the case of, for example, in Hilchos Tshuva, a person goes through a certain internal experience of regret and commitment to do better in the future, and then his vidui is the verbalization saying, Hashem, I did such and such avera, I feel bad about it, I'm not going to do it again. So he's reciting what's already happened in his heart. And similarly here, the vidui isn't a confession of sin, there's no sin, it's just the contrary, it's a person saying he did everything right. And here it's the same story, that a person is doing a recap and reciting what he had done in the past, and sort of explicating with words what went on already without words. The other approach is like the Sporno, that there is an element of a reference to some sort of moral failing here in doing the vidui. And what's that? Originally, meaning before the Chet HaEgel, originally the plan was that every bechor, every firstborn male of every household, would act as like the Kohen, and each private home would be its own little like Mikdash Mat, a little mini temple, if you will, after the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. So that the role of leading the nation spiritually was transferred to Shevet Levi and the Kohanim. And that being the case, the Levim and Kohanim had special gifts to support them as they do their religious functions, etc., and those became Trumas and Maestras. So the obligation to give Trumas and Maestras essentially bespeaks of the moral failing back in the Midbar, in the desert, prior to the Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf. And that's why we call it vidui here. That's the Sporno's approach here, to explain vidui in the context of some kind of confession of sin. Either way, now on the 7th day of Pesach, in the year 4 and 7 in the afternoon, a person recites that vidui exactly as is read in the Psukim, but now here the Mishnah will start darshing those Psukim, starting with the first of the three. It says, Ketzed hayam havidui. How did one go about doing that vidui? So he says, quote, V'arti HaKodesh min habayis. I have... according to the pshat here in the Mishnah, Biarti means that I've removed all of the Kodesh from my house. The Kodesh, Zemai Sersheni Venetaravai, we're referring here to Maaser Sheni and the fourth year produce, which one we've said already you can't keep around, you have to get rid of if it's left over past the deadline. That would apply both to the food and any coins that had Kedusha on them. There is a conflicting drasha, if you will, or an additional drasha, and you've almost that I take that back, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Fine, I apologize. So that's the Kodesh, as the Pasuk refers to them as Kodesh, is Maaser Sheni and Neter Avai, so those have been removed from the house. The Pasuk says, Nasativ Lalevi, I gave it to the Levi. So the Misha says, that's referring to Ze Maaser Levi, this is what we call Maaser Rishon, the gift that's given to Levi. If you ask yourself, fine, Vegam Nasativ, and also I gave, so if you look in the Pesukim, it doesn't say, it says, inside, I'll read it to you inside, I guess. Here it says, in Devarim Perik Chavav 26, Pasuk Yud Gimel 13, it says, V'amart l'fnei Hashem elokecha, you'll say before Hashem, which means l'charchil, it should be in the base of Mikdash, although that's not a ma'akev at all. Bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis, v'gam nesativ l'levi, I removed the kodesh from my house, that was the Maaser Sheni and the Ravai, and also I gave it to the Levi. So the Vagam, and also, says the Mishnah, Vagam Nasativ, I also gave that Vagam comes to add Zu Truma U Trumas Maaser. That Vagam comes to add the gifts to the Kohanim of Truma and Trumas Maaser. They were also given properly. Again, a person saying that everything was done properly. Rashi and Chumash adds this is also coming to add the Bikurim. The Mishnah doesn't mention the mention of Bikurim. There's a machlokas time how Bikurim is treated, whether Bikurim has to be destroyed if it's left over. And those, again, Bikurim are the first fruits that one has in his of his harvest, of the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. So they're supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim and given to a Kohen and waved in front of the Mizbeach. If they weren't, now they're left over at the deadline, and they're supposed to be, according to some Tanaim, destroyed, and others say you don't have to destroy it, you can simply give it to a Kohen and treat it like Truma. Perhaps that's why it's not mentioned over here in our Mishnah explicitly. Either way, Rashi does mention it. The Pasuk continues, Lager liyasom v'lalmana. That's also what you're supposed to have given to the Ger is the convert, Yasom is the orphan, and the Almana is the widow. So those people, Ze Maaser Ani, those people are recipients of Maaser Ani, the gift to the poor, the tithe that's taken in years 3 and year 6 of that 7-year cycle. Again, Maaser Ani means the gift to the poor, but these people are the specifically mentioned in the Pesukim, perhaps because they're not simply poor, as perhaps most people were by our standards poor, living at just subsistence levels, but they have no one to protect them in society. They're on their own as a convert, an orphan or widow, without sort of a social network to protect them necessarily, so the Torah stands up for them. And they're recipients of Maaser Ani, that gift. In addition, they would also be recipients of Haleket Vashicha Vapeya, the gifts that are left back in the fields, as opposed to given to the poor people. Leket, again, is the one or two stalks that fall when you're harvesting grains. Shicha are the bundles that are overlooked as one is bringing the bundles into the threshing floor. And Peya is the corner of one's field or orchard, etc., that's left uncollected so that the poor can come and collect for themselves. Now those, the Mishnah says, Afal Pisha Einan Ma'akvenes Avidui. Those three, meaning the Leket, the Shicha, and the Peya, are not ma'akev, they're not essential. So if one, for some reason, let's say he picked up leket that fell, or he went back to collect shicha that he'd overlooked, or he didn't leave any corner of his field as peya for the poor, so then even if he abrogated those mitzvahs, he still may recite the vidui as we are explicating over here, as the verses speak out. Meaning, those things are not ma'akev, they're not essential, but the other things, meaning, if one failed to give one berry of truma to a Kohen, or he failed to get rid of, you know, one leftover stalk of Maaser, etc., that alone would make it, if any time in the past 3 years he failed to do something properly, he would not be able to recite the vidui as we have it here. It requires to recite it, you have to have no mistakes at all, as these Mishnayos will speak out what those mistakes might be. Okay? And finally, the last part of the first half of the pasuk says, Min HaBayis, I removed it from the house. What's that referring to? Zo Chala. That is Chala, the gift that one gives from dough to the Kohen. And it's mentioned as a reference to by Min HaBayis from the house, because unlike these other gifts, the Chala portion is only given to the Kohen. And once you're making dough, at the time you're making it inside your home, so it's a gift that comes from the home.